as K-State was about to tip off against Oklahoma State, I will admit that I was distracted. I missed about the first minute or so of K-State OSU because I was watching what was transpiring in Morgantown, West Virginia. Oklahoma goes into WVU Coliseum and beats the number 7 Mountaineers in overtime, 89-87. West Virginia led this game by 15 with 8 minutes and 57 seconds to go. What a brutal loss for WVU, one that drops them to 4-2 in conference play and a full 2 games back of KU. And there you have it. I mean, that's the reason that, okay, but there's a lot of reasons that KU has won 12 straight Big 12 titles. And I don't mean to minimize how good they have actually been over that stretch. I know that we talk about the officiating and Allen Fieldhouse and other factors. I get that. I'm not saying that KU isn't a dominant program, because they are. But one of the benefits that KU has that a lot of other schools do not is that they protect their home floor, whether officiating is a part of that or not. They don't lose at home. Other teams are very susceptible to having a slip-up kind of game like this, exactly what happened to West Virginia last night as Oklahoma wins it 89-87. And that Oklahoma team, by the way, is going to be one to scare you if you get matched up with it. I mean, let's say K-State could certainly be in this position, but it could be K-State, it could be Texas Tech, it could be TCU. If you're one of those teams that's trying to lock down an NCAA tournament spot and you feel like you need a win in the Big 12 tournament to get there, and you get matched up with Oklahoma, that's a little bit frightening, because Oklahoma has Jordan Woodard back. He scored 20 points last night. He was he kind of got off to a slow start. I believe he was 2 for his first 9 from the field, but he was really good down the stretch. And when he's playing well, that OU team is much better than their record indicates. They're now 8-9 and 2-4 overall. It's probably too late for them to save an NCAA tournament bid this year, but they're going to win a lot more games than it originally appeared. And last night they really sent shockwaves, not just through Big 12 country, but across the nation by being able to beat West Virginia.
It seems like this kind of thing happens every year, where you're almost getting towards the middle of the conference schedule. You got a couple teams in the Big 12 that looks like they're going to maybe lose maybe 2 or 3 times at the most in the conference, and then they blow a game to a team that they shouldn't. A couple years ago, Iowa State, they finished 2nd behind KU in the Big 12. Well, almost halfway through the conference schedule, actually about 6 games in, they lose at Texas Tech, a game they should not have lost, and they lost that game by 5. And then West Virginia last year, who finished 2 games behind KU. I think we remember when West Virginia beat number 1 KU in Morgantown. And it felt like West Virginia, they at that point controlled their own destiny. If they took care of themselves, they were going to win the Big 12. Then they go out, they lose at number 2 Oklahoma, which, understandable loss. Oklahoma with Buddy Hield last year was very good, because Oklahoma was a favorite to win the Big 12 as well. So that was still where there was a jumble for the Big 12. And then where West Virginia kind of buried themselves, they lost at home to unranked Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This happens. And I talked to you before the show about this, to where, and coaches, all coaches in the Big 12 talk about this every year, where you can't underestimate who's at the bottom of the Big 12. Because we saw it a handful of years ago when TCU, their only win in the Big 12 was at home against KU.
It's really bizarre.
This happens.
There's 2 positive things that you can take out of this if you're a K-State fan. But first I want to mention that I think the Big 12 is starting to prove. We talked basically through the whole non-conference season, oh man, this is a down year for the Big 12. This may only be a 4-bid league, something like that. I think the Big 12 is starting to prove to just be really deep, to be honest with you. I mean, Texas is probably your worst team in the conference, and they've got a ton of talent on that team. I mean, I think they're going to jump up and beat a couple of the better teams in the Big 12 as well.
And John got on me during around college basketball yesterday when I said Texas did really well to stick around and not get blown out by Baylor. Listen, when you lose only by 10 to Baylor, on the road at their house. I think that's a pretty good day if you're Texas when you're without your best scorer and you got a kind of a miserable losing record.
Yeah, that's true.
It's almost a moral victory.
It'll be interesting to see how things shake out with the bubble this year and how many Big 12 teams get in, but I think you can start to make a case that it's more likely to see six teams get in than four, I would say. And certainly, I would think you'd see at least five. Now, the benefits to this result for K-State are twofold. Number one, Oklahoma jumped 48 spots in the RPI by winning this game, and they are now 102. So if they continue to play good basketball, I'm going to take a peek here at their upcoming schedule. They've got, it's really pretty favorable. They've got Iowa State at home coming up on Saturday. Then they are at Texas, which is certainly a winnable game. Before their Big 12 SEC matchup is a really good one. It's in Norman against number 19 Florida. That will give you a pretty good sense of where OU is at. Then they've got Oklahoma State at home. If Oklahoma kind of goes on a roll here, that's suddenly going to be K-State's second top 100 win, joining the Oklahoma State one from last night. So I think that is a benefit. The other positive out of that is Oklahoma maybe laid some of the groundwork on how to attack West Virginia and how to beat them. I know that West Virginia has lost three games this year, so other teams have been able to do it. But it does appear that if you can avoid the turnovers against West Virginia, which is easier said than done, West Virginia is a pretty average basketball team. Oklahoma only turned the ball over 12 times last night, and again, that was in a game that went to overtime. And West Virginia really did not have any answers for them otherwise. Oklahoma shot 49% in the game. They were only 25% from three, but that means that they were really good at getting into the paint and being effective in there. If K-State's able to do that on Saturday against the Mountaineers, they'll have a pretty good chance. That is reliant on Kamau Stokes being healthy. We'll have to see how things work out there. But I do think that Oklahoma and a couple of these other teams that have beaten West Virginia, Texas Tech being another one, have shown that if you can take care of the ball, West Virginia is not a really terrifying opponent to go up against, maybe the same way that a lot of other teams are in the top 10 right now.
And KU, they're getting ready to run into a pretty tough schedule, a really tough schedule, because coming up next for KU, they're at home against Texas. That's a W for KU, even though it was kind of funny how close it was last year in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, but that's a win.
And then at number seven, West Virginia. Big 12 SEC Challenge at Kentucky. At home against Baylor.
At home against Baylor. That's an interesting stretch. I think that if you offered to KU fans that you would go 2-1 over those three games, I think they'd take it in a heartbeat. I think they would accept a loss in one of those three games. As long as they don't drop the games to West Virginia and Baylor, they're still in pretty darn good shape in the Big 12 race.
Right now in the Big 12 standings, KU is undefeated 6-0. Baylor right below them at 5-1. West Virginia 4-2. And then you have four teams tied for fourth place at 3-3. K-State, TCU, and Texas Tech, as of right now, have identical records. So we are a third of the way through the Big 12 schedule. And as of right now, it feels like we're down to three teams already.
That's one of the reasons that last night's K-State game was pretty big, because K-State winning or losing that game was the difference between them waking up this morning tied for fourth or tied for seventh. And as things start to shake up, as the different tiers are built, you want to stay in that middle to the top tier as long as you possibly can. And K-State was able to do that. They are now 3-3 in the league, as opposed to being tied with Oklahoma for eighth in the league at 2-4. That was a really big result for K-State. We're going to go to our next break, and as we do, it's time to get submitted for the FanFest passes that we're giving away tomorrow. This is an excellent package that you do not want to miss out on. I mentioned earlier that Eric Hosmer is going to be at the Royals Fan Fest. Mike Moustakas is going to be there. A couple other names I've seen. Whit Merrifield's going to be there. How about the postseason hero, Christian Colon? So you'll have a chance to see those guys in person. You also get the hotel room included in this within walking distance to FanFest and $100 to Jack Stack Barbecue. We'll take caller three. Caller three to submit your name for this really cool package. We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, the Raiders are on the move. That's coming up next on The Game.